Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
There is a well-known verse in Ephesians chapter 4 that has troubled Bible translators for years. The King James Version and most modern versions, such as the NIV, the New American Standard, say something like, in verse 15, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all things into Him, who is the head, Christ." Though this certainly is not a wrong translation, it only conveys part of the actual meaning of the verse. Other versions, like Darby's and the Recovery Version, use another phrase, "but holding to truth in love." Ed Marks has joined us today as we look at holding the truth in love on this life study from Ephesians. Ed, good to have you back with us, as always.
Well, Chris, it's good to be back. And Chris, on this program, I think we'll enter into the intrinsic significance of what this phrase means. You know, Chris, in the context, the verse before says that we may be no longer little children tossed by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching in the sleight of men, in craftiness with a view to a system of error. Then it says, but holding to truth in love, we may grow up into Him in all things, who is the head, Christ. So the context here, Chris, is that we don't want to be immature in the Christian life, like little children who are carried about by every wind of teaching. Instead, we need to hold to the truth. Actually, literally, this means truthing it. Huh. We need to truth it, you know, in the Greek.
Yeah.
And Chris, the true things that Paul is talking about in Ephesians are Christ and the church. Actually, Christ is the truth.
Right.
In John 14:6, mm-hmm. He says, "I am the truth." He is the reality. And of course, Christ in resurrection produced His body. We're the members of His body. So Christ as the head and as the body, with us as the organic members of His body, these are the true things that we need to hold to. And this thing about winds of teaching, Chris, in 1 Timothy 1:3-4, Paul tells us we should not teach differently, but God's economy.
Yeah.
He uses this word, God's economy, which in the Greek is God's household plan or His household administration to dispense Himself into our being in Christ as the Spirit to build us up as the church, which is His body.
Mm.
So Christ and the church are the contents of God's economy, which is the unique teaching in the New Testament. Any other teaching is a wind of teaching. So this is what it means to hold to the truth, to hold to Christ and the church as this substance, center, and reality of God's eternal economy.
Ed, really good intro there and sets it up very well. You know, this matter of speaking the truth, the speaking, as Witness Lee will point out, is implied as part of what it is to hold the truth, or truthing it is the literal translation of the Greek there. It's really a verb, isn't it? Truthing it. But the problem is, I think in many cases, we sort of read that as, well, speaking the truth, that means as long as I'm not telling lies, that therefore I must be growing into Christ. And really what we're touching in this life study, which is, I think, getting at the core, is, as you said, of the intrinsic aspect of the truth here, something much deeper than just avoiding telling falsehoods, isn't it?
Exactly, Chris. And what Paul is talking here, you know, and you can translate it holding to truth, is to hold to Christ as the truth. Or you can also translate this the reality. Christ is the reality of every positive thing in the universe, and we need to experience Him as the reality. And as we experience and enjoy Him as the reality, as the truth, and we speak Him into others, this is how we grow up into Him.
Right.
And the body is built up.
So the speaking is an important aspect, as long as we understand it in a right way, in a correct way here.
Exactly. Of course, we don't want to speak lies, but the point is we are experiencing Christ as truth and speaking Christ as truth to people.
Wow, that is really wonderful. Okay, let's join Witness Lee with today's first section of our life study. And he begins by pointing out that this verse, verse 15, begins with the three-letter word, but, which really contrasts it to verse 14, which you read just a moment ago. Here's Witness Lee.
A wonderful message, the growth of the members for the building up of the body, verses 15 and 16, but holding to truth. What does the word truth here mean? We have to realize Christ with the church is the only thing that's real and true. In the whole universe, beside Christ with the church, what else is real and true? According to the spiritual context, even you don't tell people any lie, yet you don't speak Christ with the church until you do not handle the truth. The newspaper news are true, are real, but the things are not the real thing. They are vanities. Even to talk about minor teachings is not handling the truth. All the day long, we should handle, talk, speak, embrace Christ with the church. This is our conversation. This is our fellowship. This is to handle the truth in love. You see, by doing so, we grow. We may grow up into him who is the head. Don't grow up into yourself. Don't grow up into something else. You have to grow up into him. This means your growth must be a growth in the body. You are growing into the head. Surely, you are in the body. I saw some Christians, the more they grow, the more they become critical. If you are not remaining in the body, you may have a kind of growth, but that growth is not a growth into the head.
Ed, that was a good recap of what you and I were talking about before we joined him there. Then he brings out also this element near the end that I think is really quite significant. As we are holding the truth, or he brought in this term handling, which also is a good translation or connotation to this word, isn't it? But as we're handling Christ, we grow up into, and then it says the head, which implies that a proper growth is in the context of the body, isn't it?
Yes, Chris, I'd like to mention this again. You know, the truth, firstly, is Christ himself. When we say that Christ is the truth, we mean he is the reality. If you look in the scriptures, Christ is our real life. Christ is our real light. He's the light of the world. Christ is our real water. He's the living water for us to drink. Christ is our real food. He's the bread of life. Christ is our real home. He tells us to abide in him.
Right.
Actually, Christ is even our real air because he breathed himself into us as the holy pneuma, which is the holy air or the holy breath. So he's even our breath. He is the one reality of all. We need to experience him and we need to enjoy him. Then we're filled with him. And then when we speak, we speak the truth. We speak the Christ that we've enjoyed. Anything other than Christ is vanity. And then this is all for the building up of the church. So Christ and the church, these are the true things. And as we experience Christ in this way and speak Christ, we grow up into him as the head. Mm-hmm. And this is for the body. You know, Brother Lee mentioned a different kind of growth. Actually, that's not genuine growth. If you're really growing in Christ, that is something in the body and for the body and for the oneness of the body. So this is all quite marvelous, Chris.
It is. bringing out this aspect of the reality here, and this word truth, it's important to understand this is not truth as in correctness. This is truth as in what is real, the reality. So in, you know, in the recovery version, actually we see in John chapter 1, it's translated as, but grace and reality came when Christ came.
Exactly.
Right. And Ed, the verse says we grow up into him in all things. And we want to look at what this implies, the all things, in this coming section.
Yeah, I think this will be a big help to us in our Christian life.
Grow up into him in all things. Do you realize? At least a number of things related to you are not in the head. In certain areas, you have grown up into the head. But in some other areas, no growth there. I just give you some illustrations. You may grow into Christ in this, in that, in so many things, but in one thing, you would not grow into Christ. You know what is that? It's hard for you and me to grow into the head in our talk. It's really hard in our talk for us to grow into the head. Since 1933, I got a great help. I read a message by Brother Nee that says, one of the Psalms says, what? Lord, send two angels to keep my mouth. Brother Nee went on to say, oh, it's hard for any Christians to keep his mouth. And even the more, started to say, with the sisters. It's harder for the sisters to keep their mouth. I think the brothers need two angels, and the sisters need four angels. So from that day, I practiced not to talk. Under any kind of condition, I would not talk unless I have the assurance that the Lord wanted me to talk. Otherwise, I would not talk. I found out, my, that was a hard lesson. I assure you, this is the area hardest to grow into Christ. You try it. In other areas, it is not so hard. You have to underline to grow up into him in all. Not only underline all, you circle the word all. In all things. If you would circle the word all and go back and pray, you will find out, my, you have so many small things. In so many small things. I mean, it's tens of small things. You are still not growing. You are still not growing into the head. There are many things, there are many things, small things, in which you are still not growing up into the head.
Ed, I always look forward to having you involved in these broadcasts because I know you always find a way to apply what we're talking about. He gave you a good opening here, didn't he? An application of what it is to grow into all things.
Yeah, Chris, this is very helpful that we need to grow up into him in all things. And one of the things that Brother Lee focused on was our speaking. In Isaiah chapter 6 is a very good illustration of this. You know, Isaiah, in that chapter, he sees a vision of Christ sitting on a high and lofty throne. And then when he sees Christ, he sees himself. Particularly, he sees that his speaking, his lips are unclean. He says, woe unto me. He says, I'm undone. I'm finished because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Well, what happened is one of the seraphim took an ember from the altar, touched it to his lips.
A burning ember.
A burning ember.
Yeah.
And said, now your iniquity is purged, your sin is taken away. And then God spoke. He said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. So to me, this is a marvelous picture, Chris, that the way we can grow up into Christ in all things is we need to contact him. We need to have personal time with him. And where we see him, when we contact him, we get shined on. Like Isaiah did, his lips got shined on. His lips got measured. In Ezekiel 47, it speaks about the Lord measuring. To measure means to examine, judge, and test. And that's all for possessing. And Chris, one thing we have to realize is that to grow up into Christ is for Christ to increase as life within us. Colossians 2:19 says that we grow with the growth of God. This doesn't mean that God grows in himself, but he grows in us. So how does he grow in us? Well, in Ezekiel 47, again, our listeners can look at this chapter later. Each time the Lord measures the flow of the living water, that flow increases. So see, when he measures us, when he shines on us, when he examines us in our fellowship with him, then we confess, we say, oh, Lord, forgive me. My speaking is so unclean and my lips are unclean. And then we say, Lord, I consecrate my lips and my speaking to you. And then he has a way to possess us practically in all these little things. And he increases as life within us. And that's our growth into him as the head of the body. I think this is very practical and wonderful.
Wonderful practical picture. Of course, a lot in the New Testament and the Old Testament, as you pointed out, a great portion in Isaiah about our tongue, our lips, our speaking. If our tongue belongs to the Lord, really, he has a large measure of our whole being, doesn't he?
He does, Chris. You know, we might think, I don't speak lies, but are we speaking Christ? Is our speaking dispensing Christ to build up the body of Christ? If it's not, it's worthless. Chris, when the Lord shines on us like that, then we have to confess again, Lord, forgive me. So the light controls us then, just like with Isaiah. And of course, Isaiah became a real sent one from that point.
Ed, earlier in the message, we touched this matter that in these verses, proper growth is connected to the body. It's not an individual spiritual kind of growth. It's a growth in the context of the body. And in the following verses, Paul really brings this out. Verse 16, out from whom, and of course, preceding that, it says the head Christ, out from whom all the body being joined together and being knit together through every joint of the rich supply and through the operation in the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. We have a very, very good portion ahead on this very meaningful portion. Here's Witness Lee again.
In verse 16, he says, out from the head. Firstly, we grow into the head. Now, something comes out from the head. It is altogether the growth, not for individuals. The Christian growth is altogether for the body. Genuine growth all the time is for the body. All the body fitted and knit together through every joint of the supply. There is a particular supply in the body. Through every joint of the particular supply. Yes, we all can be apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. But look at our body. Not every member could be the joint, right? Every joint here refers to the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers in verse 11. They are the particular ones. They are the leading ones. As the leading ones, they have the supply. The truth in the Bible is always of twofold. It is absolutely right to say that we all can prophesy, we all have to be sent, we all can preach the gospel, we all can teach, we all can shepherd. This is just one fold, one aspect. There's another fold, the other aspect, no doubt. Persons like the Apostle Paul, Peter, John, and these are particular persons. And they do have the particular supply. In the body, you have this conjoint of the particular supply. According to the apprehension in measure of each one part. You see, every joint refers to the leading ones, to the particular ones, and each one part refers to all the saints. Through every joint of the supply, according to operation in measure of each one part, causes all the body, causes the growth of the body. This means the body grows by the body itself. Don't expect Peter to come. Don't expect anyone to come. All the body causes the growth of the body. Listen, until the building up of itself.
Well, Ed, we don't have time to do a thorough treatment on this very, very critical, important verse. But in the time that we have left, talk about these two aspects, the particular supply from the joints and then the operation in the measure of each one part and how both are needed for the building up.
Yeah, Chris, the structure of this sentence in the scriptures is this, that all the body causes the growth of the body. So for us to grow, we need to be practically in the body life. We need to be in a divine fellowship
right. With
the members of the body. And then as the members of the body, first we grow up into Christ the head. And then out from him as the head, through us, the supply comes out. And it comes out through what Paul refers to as two kinds of members with particular functions. One are the joints of the rich supply. These are the particularly gifted ones in the body. And then there's the operation in the measure of each one part. These are the rest of the members of the body. And for the body to be built up, we need both of these kind of members. You know, Chris, I would just say this, you know, in conclusion, practically. The first thing, if we're going to grow into Christ in all things, we need to be in the Word. You know, 1 Peter 2:2 says that we need to long for the milk of the Word. And by this milk, we grow unto salvation. Whether you're a joint of the rich supply or you're a part, you need to be filled with the Word, with Christ as the Word every day. And then we need to be in a fellowship. We're having a meeting right here on the radio, you know,
right.
And this is marvelous. And our listeners are out there listening, and we're being supplied. The body's being built, and we're growing up into him as we're listening and opening to one another in fellowship. But Chris, with the joints of the supply, it's marvelous when you go to a meeting. You know, 1 Corinthians 3:6, it says, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered. Every time you go to a proper Christian meeting, you get watered. And you particularly get the watering from these particular joints of supply. But we also need all the parts to operate. And then this causes the growth of the body.
Right.
And this builds up the body. And this prepares us to be his bride.
And this is really a normal, proper growth, not just the growth of these particularly gifted members. It's the growth of the whole body, and it takes the whole body in this organic function to bring about the proper growth.
Chris, this is important too. It's not the clergy and the laity.
Right.
Actually, what the gifted members do is they perfect us, the parts, to do what they do. But we all function according to the measure and the portion we have. So that means all the members of the body are functioning to experience Christ and to speak Christ for the building up of the body of Christ.
Well, Ed, we're about halfway through this life study of Ephesians, and we're nearly through the book of Ephesians a first time through. But these are some of the things that he comes back to, because there's so much here. They're so important, and they really have been missed by the church through the ages. And so I think what's ahead for our listeners in the coming weeks as we continue in Ephesians is going to be a continual rich supply from a really valuable joint of supply that was with us for all those years. Thank you for your help today, and hope you'll come back soon, Ed.
Thank you very much, Chris. I'm really looking forward to the next life study message that we can enjoy together.
For Ed Marks, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.